Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His word. The topic of this devotional is Empowered to Forgive. Our scripture is Genesis chapter 42, verse 6, chapter 45, verses 4 through 8, and chapter 50, verses 18 through 21.
Now Joseph was the ruler over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt." Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them.
Forgiveness can be really hard, especially when we are hurt by people we care about. We've been looking at Joseph's story, and I think it's fair to say that Joseph could probably relate to the struggle with forgiveness. He was betrayed by his own brothers. But in Joseph's story, we see that he finds freedom from bitterness and resentment. He is empowered to forgive. We left off in the narrative with Joseph being put in charge over the famine situation in Egypt. Joseph is second in command over the entire country. For 7 years, Joseph stores up food. Then the famine hits. In the passage we just read, we see that the famine reaches all the way to Canaan, which is where Joseph is originally from. Hearing of the provision in Egypt, Joseph's brothers travel there to buy food. At this point, the brothers have no idea if Joseph is even alive after he was sold into slavery long ago. When the brothers first reach Joseph in Egypt to buy food, they do not recognize him. The brothers bow down to Joseph and ask to buy food, an act fulfilling Joseph's original dream from Genesis 37. Recognizing his brothers, Joseph puts them through a series of tests before revealing himself to them. Joseph comes to see that his brothers have changed. Specifically, Judah, the brother who sold Joseph into slavery, displays his heart change in the way he sacrificially takes the fall for another brother in one of Joseph's tests. So, how will Joseph move forward and decide to treat his brothers? Will he use his position and power to see that they're punished for all the hurt they caused? Will he give them a cold shoulder and emotionally withhold himself? Revealing his true identity, Joseph actually breaks down weeping and embraces his brothers. He tells them to not be upset or angry with themselves. He says, "God sent me before you to preserve life, to preserve for you a remnant in the earth, and to keep you alive by a great deliverance." Joseph tells him to go back to Canaan and bring all the family members to live in Egypt, where Joseph will provide for them. "The best of all the land of Egypt is yours," Joseph says. Then he kisses and continues to weep over all his brothers. After the entire family has moved to Egypt, the brothers worry that Joseph will show them anger and retribution. They throw themselves at Joseph's feet and offer to be his servants. But Joseph responds, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." Remember, these are the brothers that sold Joseph into slavery and ripped him from his family and home. They caused a tremendous amount of hurt and pain. What is enabling Joseph to have this extravagant forgiveness towards them? What enables him to not only forgive, but also to weep over their restored relationship and to offer to take care of them and their families? We can identify three reasons from the passage that enable Joseph to forgive. First, Joseph recognizes God as being in control the whole time. "God sent me here," Joseph says. While technically, yes, the brothers sent Joseph to Egypt, Joseph recognizes that this act was in God's plan. Second, Joseph sees the good that God brought from the hurtful circumstance. It was only because Joseph was originally sold into slavery that he could rise to power and save a whole country of people, including his own family, from starvation. Because Joseph trusts God, understanding that God was in control of and brought good from the situation, he is able to forgive his brothers. Third, Joseph is able to forgive because he recognizes he is not in the place of God. "Am I in God's place?" he asks. You see, even if Joseph did not recognize any good that came from the situation, he would still not be in the position to withhold forgiveness. He knows that judgment is in God's hands. In our own hurt, just like Joseph, we can find peace in the reality that God was sovereign or in control over the situation and that he is working good from it. Think about a situation where someone hurt you. Did it cause you to depend on God more and deepen your relationship with him? Did it grow your character and perseverance? Did it enable you to help someone else in a similar situation? Trusting in God's control and looking for the good he brought from the hurtful situation helps us to forgive. It doesn't excuse the offender or minimize our pain, but it helps free our hearts from frustration and bitterness. As you might have experienced before in your life, withholding forgiveness only keeps us tied to the offender. We are letting that person control our life and dictate our feelings. But surrendering judgment into God's hands liberates us. So even if you cannot see any good that came from a hurtful situation, you can still be empowered to forgive by trusting God and leaving judgment up to him. You can be released from the toxicity of resentment and experience freedom. I'm in no means trying to make forgiveness sound easy. I know how hard it is when you've been really hurt. And I know some of you listening have been hurt in ways I can't even imagine. I'm only wanting to encourage you towards the freedom God offers you from your bitterness. He can give you the ability to forgive even when it feels impossible. In a previous Genesis devotional, we talked about Corrie Ten Boom's story. She was the Dutch woman who was sent to the Nazi concentration camp for hiding Jews in her home. After Corrie was liberated from the camp, she spent the rest of her life traveling and speaking on her faith and on what she learned from her suffering in the concentration camp. In her book, Corrie recounts a time when she had just finished delivering a message in Munich. "That's when I saw him," she says. "One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat. The next, a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush. The huge room with its harsh overhead lights. The pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor. The shame of walking naked past this man. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out. I remembered him and the leather crop swinging from his belt. It was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. "You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk," he was saying. "I was a guard there." No, he did not remember me. "But since that time," he went on, "I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Will you forgive me?" It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out. But to me, it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. Of anyone, Corey understands how hard forgiveness can be. She continues. "And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me," I prayed silently. "I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling." And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. "I forgive you, brother," I cried with all of my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. Let's pray. Lord, you are in control of everything. Help me to see the good you are working from areas in my life where I have been hurt. Judgment is in your hands. Help me to trust you and to let go of my bitterness and resentment. Give me the power to forgive and to be free. Amen. As you listen to the worship song, tell God about a situation in which you have been hurt. Then ask God to help you be freed from any resentment you might be holding on to. Our hands to
defeated. By the cross of Jesus, I'm forgiven, washed in.